As the pain intensified in her heart, drops of blood began to form on the scalp of the skin. The National Center for Biotechnology Information recounts a scientific investigation that was undertaken in India in 2017 of a 10-year-old Indian girl. This girl had been fighting with her classmates one day, and the teacher intervened to prevent them from continuing. The teacher then decided that the girl should wait outside the classroom and threatened to tell her parents about the incident. The student was so distressed that she cried for an hour, and after 30 minutes, the teacher discovered that she was bleeding from the scalp, sweating drops of blood. Hematidrosis, a rare condition in which a person sweats blood, is real. The high stress combined with the increased blood pressure can rupture the blood vessels in the skin such that the blood begins to mix with the sweat glands and can actually cause someone to sweat drops of blood. Imagine then for a moment the high duress, the intense pain and agony our Savior felt, not for fear of parental trouble, but because of the weight of the sins of the whole world. Imagine how the drops of blood must have just issued from his skin. I highlight this point not just to show that this is scientifically possible, but I want to emphasize that our Lord truly suffered in his humanity. He experienced intense agony, and he shows us how to encounter God in our vulnerability. I remember my friend telling me a story about his girlfriend, and he came to visit her at her place once. He had come early, and her parents had let him in, but when he came up to go see her, he had to wait 30 minutes before he could see her because she had not put on her makeup. I found in my experience, and maybe you do too, the constant temptation in my walk with God is that I have to earn God's love before he can love me. Our human interactions are generally structured in a similar way. We love people because of the good we see in them. Yet God's love is different. He is the source of all goodness, and he bestows his goodness onto his creatures. And so his love is bestowed upon us to transform us, to make us to be the people he has called us to be. But we forget this truth. And in our relationship with God, we can approach him by putting on our spiritual makeup to make us look good. We hold on to this mask tightly because we fear that he doesn't want to look at the stench and smell that stench of sin beyond that mask. He doesn't want to look at the festering wounds that are beneath, because who would love such a thing? He wants to encounter us as we are. So truly I tell you, God does not want to speak to your mask. He wants to speak to you. Imagine if Jesus has put on his spiritual makeup in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, dear Heavenly Father, I'm so looking forward to being crucified. No, it's true that he desired the passion. He desired the baptism with which he was going to be baptized, but he acknowledged the reality of the situation. He acknowledged the agony that he felt. So Jesus truly saw the pain that he would undergo, not just physically, but emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. And so he says from the depths of his heart, "My soul is sorrowful even to death." And three times he prays, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." It seems like Jesus is resisting the plan of God, but the church teaches that Jesus' human will submits to his divine and almighty will. Therefore, the agony he experiences is an agony that is not based on resistance to the Father, but based on the natural resistance to death and suffering. Because human death and suffering is not natural. And so his agony was an expression of that horror of death that he felt in his human nature. And he was so repulsed that he experienced that intense pain that he was led to hematidrosis, the sweating of the drops of blood. The main point I'm trying to get across is this: Jesus was honest with his Father. He was real. He didn't gloss over his experience as if the crucifixion was going to be hunky-dory, but he didn't put his spiritual makeup on. He gave it straight to the Father. The Father does not want to speak to your mask. He wants to speak to you. I remember one time listening to a talk about our wounds, our spiritual wounds, and our just wounds from the past that we experience in our own lives. And in my heart, I could just feel this intense pain and anger and sadness just well up in my heart. And my friend asked me how I was feeling, and I said, I just feel anger, particularly, I don't know why, but at God. And he said, let him know how you're feeling. Just let it all out. He's God. He can handle it. For the first time, I felt like I received permission to be honest with God, to take off the mask for the first time. And so I screamed on the top of my lungs, "Aah!" All this pent-up anger and rage just came out for the first time, just like this garbage in my heart, pouring forth. And I was weeping, I was punching the floor, I was just so angry. Like a child just screaming, not knowing what's happening in the pain, and just yelling out to the Father. So too, I screamed out in that moment, and I just said, Father, you do something about this. And he did. He encountered me in my pain. He met me in the place where I didn't think he wanted to be at all. And he said, Troy, I've always been with you. The pain you feel is the shrapnel of sin embedded so deep in your heart that you have become accustomed to it. So in your cry from the heart, you expose the wound so that I can heal it, so I can restore you and redeem you. For behold, I make all things new. The Father does not want to speak to your mask. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to that unpleasant, grumpy, weeping, broken, sinful human being. He wants us to be real, to be authentic with Him, so that He can reveal the face of mercy in the dark, broken places in our heart where we don't believe He wants to be. He wants to unite His agony with our agony so that He can transform it into new life. And this is the significance of the agony of the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane, as we have heard, comes from the Jewish word meaning olive press, where the olives would be pressed to make olive oil. And the olive tree and the olive oil are significant symbols because the ancient Jewish people believed that the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil was a fig tree. But guess what was the tree of life? It was an olive tree. So listen to this ancient story from Jewish tradition about Adam right before he died, as he is sick and suffering. And he says to Eve, "Rise and go with my son Seth to the regions of paradise. Perhaps God will have mercy and send His angel to the tree of His mercy, the tree of life, from which flows the oil of life, and will give you a little of it with which to anoint me, that I may have rest from these pains by which I am wasting away." So as Adam was in the garden of paradise and was banned from the tree of life because of his sin, Now Christ, the new Adam, is in the Garden of Gethsemane, preparing us for the new tree of life. And as the olives from the tree of life are crushed to produce the oil of life, so too Christ is crushed with his suffering on the tree of the cross to produce the oil of everlasting life, the blood and water flowing from his side. As we are crushed in our sufferings and in our pain and brokenness with Jesus on our crosses, it does not lead us to despair, but can bring us the oil of life, the oil of healing. So now, as we prepare for the Eucharist, we pray that Jesus may enter within us. He may enter with us into those dark places in our hearts where we are afraid to enter because the pain is too great. And we're afraid if we begin crying, we won't stop. But do not fear the divine physician who says to each and every one of us, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. So allow him to anoint your wounds with the oil flowing from the tree of the cross, healing them and bringing new life. And we shall hear him say in our heart, behold, I make all things new.